Now, I want to preach to you, but I want to say very carefully, listen carefully, because the title will scare you. And I almost said it before, but I said it actually. It's called lukewarmness. And what I see in this, we don't really know what lukewarmness actually means. We all have opinions what it means, but we're going to go through it. And so I don't want to condemn anybody. We are in the same boat at one point in our life, or still are. So I'm going to read from Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. And we'll try to bring this out and challenge us. Where are we at? This is something God taught me while I was in Africa. And that will come out through this message. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And an angel unto the church of the Laodicean write these things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works that are neither hot nor neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'll counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I sat down with my Father in his throne. This is the story about Laodicea. Now, as we look at Laodicea, you know, this is something I saw many years ago now, but he said, you're neither hot nor cold. We like to think, well, if I'm not hot, I'm cold. But actually, when we look at this geographic location, Laodicea didn't have a water source. They piped in from the hot springs about 6 miles away, no, 5 miles away, and then they got the cool water piped in from 6 miles away from the opposite direction. But when it got there through clay pipes and desert, it was lukewarm. It was neither hot nor cold. The hot springs where people would flock to take bath for health reasons, to sit in these vats on the mountain there. And that was from the hot springs. And then they had the cold mountain. One person I met that was a missionary in South Africa, he would say there are snow-capped mountains in the other direction. If they are or aren't, I really can't prove that. But I think he saw it, so I'll go with him. But anyway, so there was fresh water and there was healing water. If we look at it that way, because I think today those all those hot springs and vats and city that built up around them were all destroyed by earthquakes. There's actually no place there like that anymore. But anyways, this morning, so this is the direction I'm going. Is your life healing and refreshing? Or has it cooled off? Has it cooled off or warmed up in a way that it's no longer, it's anything but fresh, it's anything but healing, it is now lukewarm. And I need some water, so I hope this is not lukewarm. It is refreshing. Okay. So that's where we're going. Where am I at? Am I still able? Can my words still bring healing to people? When I talk to them, are they anointed by Christ that I can bring that healing? Is my encouragement, is my life encouraging to others? Can I encourage other people? You know, he doesn't, you know, when we were in Africa, like I said, I'm dealing with pain in my body and seems nowhere to go for relief. This morning, I actually don't feel too bad. But by preaching, probably by the time I'm done here, I'll probably be tightened up pretty good. But it's like a thorn in the flesh. And I had to scale back, slow down. And actually, I couldn't preach longer than 30 minutes. You can all say praise the Lord, because I'm going to try to push that. Anyways, so it tightens up when I use my arm. It would almost knock the oxygen, the air out of me that I would have to, they could see when it, you can see when it happens. It's like, but so far, through x-rays and all that, there's nothing wrong. It could be, hopefully not, related to the other issue I have. But anyways, it's very painful. And when we were traveling for 90 hours, it was very much pain. And so I got over there, and everybody was telling me, different people gave me good advice, and I'm not belittling that. Do this, make sure, check on this, check on that. And when we got there for the first 2 weeks, every single thing we wanted to do had to die so we could be able to minister what Christ has said before us. And so that is what happened. And so it felt like we were looking for little steps at a time that we needed to take. And so we did everything we could. But I really like this because it actually slows you down. I really wonder sometimes how Christ is saying, just hold back. We think somebody that's aggressive, that is has all the energy in the world, is not lukewarm. Is it possible they are? We don't see it. I'm not belittling people with energy, not at all. But I tell you, it really hits me because the aggressive, you know, what we want to do, but Christ has something right in front of us. Do we see that, or are we looking beyond that and something in the future, missing what we have today? But when we come to this and we see, are we able to minister life? It doesn't matter if you have energy or not much. Christ is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for thee. Regardless what your conditions are at, he's not limited by you. What I saw happen was like I almost missed it. When they were telling me how much they were revived, they had revival, it was like, did I miss that? And I looked at them, they were revived. And I was more focused on this, you know. And it was painful. But yet, God was moving. I mean, I just needed to be there. I didn't need to be a great preacher. I just needed to be there in his hands, in him, so he could do his work. Like in Acts 1:8, it says, we are witnesses unto him around the world. Many of us think we're supposed to be witnessing around the world. We are witnesses unto him. So that means our lifestyle, everything we are, is that way. We are ministering, we're a witness unto him, and that will show the people that he is real and alive. Anyways, back to this, you know, I had preached this message in church one evening, and I was kind of disappointed Nobody responded. I felt this is what they needed, and I preached, and before that, there was asked for testimonies. There was nobody moved. And then we finished, and I went out, but the pastor's wife that was just set free, immediately when it was over, she quickly went to everybody else, and for the next hour, I think, I sat outside waiting, and they were talking. And they all knew they needed to be, they're all not where they ought to be, and what they came up with is to have a prayer meeting come together. Instead of 3 o'clock, we would meet. The ladies got together at 1 o'clock to pray. And if you want to hear that little clip on that prayer meeting that my wife took, I'm not going to show it here. It would be interesting. But it is almost scares you, right? It's almost like, what is happening? It is crying out to God. I didn't hear something with such passion for a long time. So they were revived. But what happened here is one person that was refreshed went and encouraged the others to enter into it. That's all it took. It is not that we're all guilty today. We all walk out silently and go home and go and have a barbecue somewhere and forget about it. But somebody rallied everybody together that they were on the same page. And the message that I preach was important. But I didn't see it right away. So today, that word means, so thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. In the Amplified it says, because thou art lukewarm, spiritually useless, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Rejecting you with disgust. And it's interesting here how he goes through. They were a very rich city. They were very well-to-do. But they had no original source of water. But they were medical, known as to manufacture ISAB. He talked about biome, gold tried in the fire. What, you know, that thou mayest be rich and with a white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. What does that mean? They were obviously not seeing what he saw. They said they have everything they need. And what he wrote here, the heman said they don't have clothes on. They did. But their nakedness was their lukewarmness. It was easy for people to see. So let's be clothed in Christ so we don't show forth something that isn't reality in the spiritual realm, like lukewarmness. In our lives, it can be real, and we need to repent of that because God has so much for us. And we'll get into more of that. But he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In the Amplified, it says, zealous means, no, it's just the meaning of it. It's not the Amplified. Showing great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause. You know, when we think of repentance, we don't think about zealousness sometimes. But we need to be zealous because I walk in the walk of repentance in order to walk in the Holy Ghost. Did you catch that? I cannot walk in the Holy Spirit without having a walk on the foundation of repentance. That is totally not possible because that comes first. And to be led of the Spirit is when we're able to be zealous about anything that is cooling us off or taking away from our vision in Christ and knowing who we are in Christ. Because he said, he stands at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It's very simple. You hear that knock. You open the door. He won't just come in. He will also come and eat with you. There is the deeper fellowship. You know, when you sit around the table, you can have a deeper fellowship than just meeting somebody on the street. It's sitting down for that purpose. And so here we can see what it means. Now let me explain this. You know, so we see that there was two water sources that were piped in. And over the years, I didn't look it up how it is today. But they tried different ways to have above ground elevated water pipes and all that, and they had a problem with getting good drinking water into the city. They had no personal source. Where you at was that. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal source that this is where it comes from? What flows out of me comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from my relationship with social media. It comes from Jesus Christ. So we can all share our means on Facebook, and we can look spiritual. But those are not original sources. If you want to write your own original sources, that's fine. But so we're passing stuff around, and we know when to speak up and when not to. But does that show that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Not necessarily. I wish it would. But so those are things. There was no original source. There was no place for that living water, for the healing water, for fresh water to come out of in that city. It was not original with them. It came from somewhere else. Yes, we learn from each other as I'm preaching here. And it's for you, make it yours. Make it personal. But so we see that this to be, we cannot be useful if we're depending and just from our friendships and everything else, that all those are important if we have this source, because then we can bless others. And if I meet other people with the same source, he will bless me. And therefore, that's what's called fellowship. And so this morning, where are you at in that? What are you doing? Do you have a good healing? Are you healing people, bringing people to deliverance in Christ? Are you encouraging them to that they're finding deliverance? Or are you refreshing that they know, yes, it's all in Jesus Christ? And so what does lukewarmness look like? You know, that woman at the well, when Jesus went to her and said, this water, but if you drink from me, in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what he said. What do you say? Always springing up. Because I met Jesus, and now that water is always springing up. But that, you know, that we have that, we will never thirst again. I'm not looking for some other Savior. I'm not looking for some other way, another gospel, another Jesus, another Spirit. I'm looking for the one that I know that wrote the Bible that I know was here, that died and rose again. That's the man. That's the Jesus. That's the gospel I'm after. I am satisfied in that. I don't have to hear some new thing because I have tasted him. I don't thirst after other things. There's a person in this area that we know through people we know. She's married. She's expecting a child. And she says she received that from the Holy Ghost, not from her husband. Do you need for a moment to think that is correct? That's blasphemy. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus made a way for him to come that was a miracle. He didn't ever order that again. I mean, all it would take is a DNA test. But the point is, her friends are too afraid to tell her it's wrong, so they go along with it. Are we that lukewarm that we just allow every other gospel to come along and we're too afraid to speak up and say, no, that's not the Jesus I know? It wouldn't take much to settle that. Then another thing I saw from a church I'm not going to mention, some of you would know. They had a baptism, and they asked this girl to come up to give a testimony. Why are you getting baptized today? Well, Jesus called me to save animals. And he asked me to lead an army of angels around the world to protect the animals. And everybody clapped. That's the condition we're in today. We allow those things to happen. We're not blaming you, but how easy it is that not to be in tune with Christ, that we actually encourage people to have the strangest ideas, and it had nothing to do with baptism, by the way, if you follow that line. It was a deception. And so am I on fire that I can help people get set free and be delivered from those kinds of deceptions that are going around here? It seems every week I hear a new one. And it's like, I can't hardly stand it anymore. And then I hear the worst part of it is people are afraid. They need to encourage it. And that's what's happening in the world today with all the issues. The world is promoting the vote stuff. Are we afraid to speak up for the sake of the gospel? I'm not asking for your personal opinion. I'm asking, this is mine. I can boldly stand on here and die by it. So am I refreshing? Am I healing? I have seen amazing things, but this is the question I have today. You know, when I feel the thorn in my flesh, that doesn't make me lukewarm. That makes me depend on the source. That makes me depend on the source, and that's Jesus Christ. And so when Paul said, you know, I got to fix this. This got to go. I got to be healed. Christ said, no, my grace is sufficient. I don't like that. But his grace is sufficient. I like that. I don't like the feeling of pain. Do we have that spring of water within that is ever increasing and pouring out us like rivers of living water? And it's fresh, it's not lukewarm. If it comes from the source, it is refreshing, healing, whatever's needed in any situation. That's what it is. And so I want to really encourage you, because we sometimes think, what is lukewarm? Oh, I just drag myself to church. Is that really? I hope you don't drag yourself to church. That would be a lot of weight for me. But anyways, I walk, I go. But I know the feeling sometimes. But lukewarm is anything that isn't living from the source of Jesus Christ, that doesn't have that well springing up out of him. That's lukewarm, the opposite of that. So I want to encourage you in that. You look at that. There are people that my flesh would rather do than die. Oh, could I go somewhere where I want to go on a mission field and look spiritual? That doesn't mean I am. Because my flesh, if I tell it, you're going to die, it's going to, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. I tell you, those are things that God is teaching me. And so is my lukewarmness. We all were there or are there. Is fulfilling Satan's purpose for the church. Is my lukewarmness filling Satan's purpose for the church? Yes, the answer is yes. Is my pleasure seeking helping others lose their zeal for God? Is my complacency helping others to care less and having no compassion for the needs that Christ has set before us? Always remember, do you want to see miracles? How do you pray for miracles? Pray for compassion, and miracles will follow. If you don't believe me, try it. Sometimes I hear, we need to see miracles, we need to see that, we need to see this. You need compassion. When you read in the Bible about when Christ has, when it says he has compassion, there was a miracle coming. And I see that again, really fresh in my mind. We need that compassion. And not worry about the miracles. You will see them if you have compassion for the person. Because we can't create compassion for people we don't know. God can give us that compassion. That's why we pray for compassion. And that is going to be, again, a person that's healing and refreshing. Remember, you don't have it. You know, remember, you don't have it. Jesus will work through you to meet the need. You are his hands and feet. God is not limited by our weakness. God will empower us. We don't empower him. In a sense, we could almost argue over that one. But what I mean, sometimes we think we're doing a great work for God. We're his person. We're his man. Only if we have died to every little bit of ourselves and are, and he's able to use us to bring about what he wants to bring about. I'm going to read Luke 10 yet as I come to a closing part. Luke 10, verse 30 to 35. That's about the Good Samaritan story. Jesus said unto, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, poured in the oil and the wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morning when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So here we see how to walk out a life that is not lukewarm. You know, this was a lukewarm picture of a person, the priest that came by. He saw him and kept on going on the other side. He didn't even stop. He was too important. He was... didn't have time. The Levite came and actually looked on him, and then he passed by on the other side. The Good Samaritan came along. He saw him. He stopped. He had compassion. He got off his beast and took care of the wound, everything. He actually did it. He bound him up. He took care of it. He treated the wound so it doesn't get infection. Then he took him to an inn to take care of him. And when the morning was come, he paid for that and gave the host money also and said, if there is more, when I come back, I will repay thee. He was willing. He had what he needed. How did he have that stuff on him when he was riding? You have what is needed for what God puts in front of you. And in Africa, I never had such an experience, but it was like everything had to die before God started moving. And then it was like this. Actually, last time I was here, I preached on the next step. But if I would retitle everything, I would say, what is the next half step? Because we looked at it, we saw it, we were, what do we do now? And then we saw something, we did that. And like with the children, I think we blessed the church greatly by having a compassion for the children there. And then that pulled in the people and the other needs we had to take care of. But it is like, it is his work, we're his people, in his hands, and we just want to obey what he has for us. And we can't, you know, we prayed about it. We asked about it. And there's many things that happened. Yes, there were some scary times, true. But the point is, when I look back today, I am very much encouraged and very much more believing when we have Christ, we can meet every need that comes in front of our lives. But this priest was walking down the road, and here was the need, right here. No, he was too important. He wasn't looking at the next half step. He was looking at maybe someday, 5 years from now, I'll be a great evangelist. No, he wasn't, but I'm sure he wasn't. But the point is, that's how we do. I tell you, if everything starts with a little step, and God will give you more and more. We were not aiming to deal with somebody like this, but that became part of it, just part of it. We were there 4 times. It almost seemed every time we went, there was a new miracle. And so it became some of our highlights. But in reality, it was about a week apart every time. We have other miracles. We have other things we saw. We dealt with people. We helped people get set free. We helped people come back to Christ. But every need, I felt so helpless. I was just like, they said, okay, you're going to preach to these young men. Well, I wanted them to, but okay, here we go. And that was good. They didn't make a decision, but they were very attentive, very listening to that. And so we were together. The ministry worked together very well. We were not out there on our own, Lone Rangers at all. We always had people with us. And you kind of need to for some reason for language. But on the other hand, I encourage you, the people that are walking in Christ, just like that lady that we took along to that when we prayed for Miss, I think that changed her forever. She was not a question mark. We didn't take children along. But it was those moments, those prayer meetings she'll never forget. And sometimes we just go, we got a need here. Everybody's busy. I'm just going to run down and pray. Try not to. Round up a couple guys or women if you have a need somewhere. Because that is how we want to encourage each other not to get lukewarm. It is not how much you do. It is that you do what is given for you to do. If it's a little bit, that's fine. Because this Good Samaritan did everything that was given him to do. And he promised to do more. The other ones were too important. So let's humble ourselves today and allow God to work through us. And believe again that God can do whatever it takes through me. Because he has given me, I have met him, he has given me water that I will never thirst again. And that I will have a well of water springing up in me, ever increasing, I believe. Sometimes we just kind of give up. I don't see this happening that I want to happen. That's fine. Look at what is happening. If you have Christ in you, he has something for you to do. But what I want might not be what he wants. Look around, you'll see it. So this morning, that might have been a little scattered, but let's give God his right, because repentance, be zealous and repent. Repentance is not just when I get born again. Repentance is every time. I walk in repentance. I repent when something comes up and that isn't right in my life. And that is what repentance is. It's where I live. I live in Christ. I live on the cross. Remember, there was some back and forth between some of us, and it was on the idea, and I came up, I kind of came up with this phrase. I think I'm theologically correct, but behind every man is flesh. Not, the devil's not behind everything. But I can promise you one thing, behind every man is flesh. It's either you have it on the cross or it is in control of your life. And if it's in control of your life, the devil can influence that. And so that is, you know, one of the greatest ways to be lukewarm is simply believe, you know, simply not be willing to surrender to everything and looking at what can I do today and be willing to do the smallest thing possible. Because if God's in it, it will encourage other people. It will bring other people to Christ. I just want to tell you a story yet. This was from years ago in Africa. I think it was done in Congo, Africa. And maybe some of you read this story. It's not a secret story. But I just want to bring it out this morning again as we seek God for direction and come out of our complacency and look for ways to bless others and to be refreshing. It starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. However, this story of a 10-year-old girl, this missionary doctor, a woman, was in Congo and right on the equator. And they had, at night, it can get cool, kind of windy. And they had a premature baby born in the hospital. And the mother died in the process. And they needed a hot water bottle to put around the baby to keep the baby alive through the night. And when they pulled out their hot water bottle, it busted. It was brittle. It didn't work. And so somebody laid with the baby in front of the door to block the draft. And through that, the next day, she survived through the night. They had a 2-year-old also that was left an orphan. Or if she had a father or not, I don't know. And then the next day, the missionary went over to the orphanage and to pray with the orphans. And she told him about this. She told him about the story about this little baby over there. And 10-year-old girl prayed for this little baby. She said, "Lord, send us a water bottle today. If you don't send it today, tomorrow, it will be too late tomorrow. We need it today." And the missionary thought, oh no. Could she say amen to that? No, she couldn't. She was just, then she added, this little girl added, "And for the 2-year-old, please send a dolly, a little doll for that 2-year-old. So the missionary was teaching the medical students and she got a message that there's a car in front of her house. And so when she got home, there was no car there, but there was a parcel there, a 21-pound box. And her hands started trembling immediately. And so she said, "I can't open this." So she went over and got the orphans. And they came over and opened the box and pulled out medical supplies. And the little girl, 10-year-old, was right in the front. She reached in and pulled out a water bottle. Who sends a water bottle to an equator? And then the little girl said, reached in there quick and down on the bottom and pulled out the little doll. Said, "I always knew God's going to answer this prayer." 5 months earlier, that box was packed. And somebody drew in a little doll that she wanted to give to an African child. And so what you see here, God knows. Will he have somebody faithful enough to bring it to pass, to bring it to birth? A 10-year-old, God knew what the needs were, and the bottle came, the doll came right on time, sent off 5 months before by their Sunday school class at home. It took 5 months to get there, but it was not late. Do we really trust a God like that? Oh, now we can say, sure, sure, sure. But nothing is seemingly happening. What is happening today in your life that God is setting it up? What is happening today in your life that God has already planned, but we just walk in obedience? One thing I learned this time, hopefully I never forget, I am nothing except in God's plan. And some of the stuff that happened this time, why was that the perfect timing? For an example, that girl, Miss, she was bad since December, and immediately as she burned her witchcraft, the others came and tried and burned her. Why didn't they do that 3 months ago? Maybe God didn't allow it. Now there were people praying for her. I don't know. But I tell you what, it's so fun. It's so fun to serve a God that is already has whatever is ahead of me. I don't know. But whatever it is, he already has that all in order. And the plans are already in place. And he already has the answer to it. And I will just continue to walk and live off the source, the water that is ever springing up. I don't know what's up ahead. And as some of you know, I did find out last week I have leukemia. And I don't know. I'm not looking forward to go through treatment, if I ever have to. But I do know one thing. His grace so far was always sufficient, and I know it will always be. So in the meantime, I'm here. I'm living. If it's not supposed to be necessarily deadly, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging. But I'm serving a God that has everything in his hands, including me. Like some people say, well, I said, I'm not, you know, I saw so much witchcraft this time like never before. Just outside our house, about 100 yards away one night, they had a witchcraft dedication, witch doctor dedication. And so we were in our house sleeping, and they were sleeping out by the ocean because the witch doctor spirit comes out of the ocean. So they do their ceremonies down by the ocean. And I slept because I'm in Christ and the devil's under his feet. And that means how important it is to never walk away from that. He gave you everything you need, and he will keep you to the very end. Yes, someday we're all going to die. But I want to meet him and know this is the man that I was drinking from. I'm not going to try to hide from him like Adam and Eve did. I can live a life that is not in sin. And regardless, as long as I'm still able to be a blessing, I will hopefully continue to live. If that's over, I'll go home. Thank you again for everything you did in prayer and for our trip, and continue to pray for the church there and continue to pray for us. We appreciate that. As we came home from Africa, tried to recover, and it seemed like why it happened accidentally, basically, but how I got a blood test done, and I just was yearly checkup, and I got that done, and they took a full health screen. That was basically by mistake, or was it? That they caught this early enough. But so we're still trying to recover, it seems. And both of us. And so continue to pray for us. We have And I want to encourage you, there's much, and allow God to lead you. I prayed for many, 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 many years for teach me what it means to be led in the Holy Spirit. And I was praying that one day out in Africa on the hilltop, and the Lord stopped me right when I was praying. It just felt like, do you see it? I said, what do I see? I'm praying, teach me how to be led of the Spirit. Are you seeing it? Oh. I was looking for big things. And here he was showing me, this is how I'm leading you. Step, half step, but we're going forward. He's leading us. And so that was a blessing. And so anyways, let's pray. Where are you at today? Are you willing to search your life and bring it to the place of, am I a blessing? Are my words healing to others to bring them to Christ? Am I refreshing enough that others will see Christ and taste Christ and seek after him? That is our whole duty that we have as Christians. And one thing we don't want to be lukewarm, a disgust in the mouth of God. Do you want to stand or not? I'm not closing it, but I'm praying. And Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you. Lord, I need you. I need your touch. I need your life. And Lord, thank you that you made a way that when we drink of you, we will never thirst again. And Lord, this morning, that refreshing water that you have, the healing, you are not lukewarm. And Lord Jesus, that we can safely trust in you and drink with all our hearts, and that you will always have a spring welling up within us, and that it will be rivers, produce rivers of life flowing through us. And Lord, this morning, I just simply thank you for that. And I ask you for my brothers and sisters here today, that each one of us will be brought to a full realization. Our duty as men and women, as Christians, are to be hot or cold. We're supposed to be refreshing or healing. And Lord, we pray for that. Lord, one thing we're not supposed to be is lukewarm, complacent, just not caring. No compassion. Lord, that is not from you. And Lord, this morning we pray that you will give us compassion when we meet people and we need needs, that it will consume our whole body, our whole being, to serve and to give and to pour out our life for others. And Lord Jesus, in a simple way, give us that revelation today of Christ. It is not a grand vision. It is simply that we walk faithfully. You have a job for each one of us. Can we be a blessing? Can we be there for others? Can we pray people through to victory? And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will give us the grace, each one of us, to walk that way. And Lord Jesus, again, that you bring a fresh revelation upon each one of us, that what you have for us, you have everything we need. And Lord Jesus, we pray as we surrender our whole life, our whole body, every piece of us fully to you, for you to use for your glory. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.